On the predictive market site Kalshi, there's more than $2 million in trade volume for Wisconsin's August 11th Democratic primary for governor.
That means people are making an investment based on who they think will win that race.
And that means they're gambling on those races, according to a recent memo released by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, warning voters they could be breaking the law if they bet on an election that they also voted in.
They say voters could be violating a decades-old Wisconsin law that carries felony-level consequences.
But Kalshi, Polymarket, and other predictive market websites don't label this as a wager. Instead, they say it's regulated more like a commodity and it isn't gambling under federal law.
Howard Schwaber is an emeritus professor of political science and affiliate faculty member at the University of Wisconsin Law School. I talked to him last week.
All right, well, let's dig into the particulars here. We've got the Wisconsin Election Commission saying it's illegal to bet on elections that you also vote in. Okay, that part is part of state law. And that Kalshi and Polymarket constitute betting, which those companies say they don't. What's your reaction to what the Election Commission has said here?
So let me back up, if I may, just a moment, because not all the listeners might, you know, realize this. The United States Constitution says that states get to determine who's qualified to vote, except in very special circumstances. For example, states can't be racially discriminatory. But in general, states determine who's qualified to vote in an election. That's step one. The second step is something called preemption. Sometimes, if there are federal laws, they render state laws inoperative. So if there's a conflict, for example, I'm making this up, but imagine there was such a thing as a federal speed limit of 55 and a state speed limit of 70, we would say that the federal speed limit trumps the, no pun intended, trumps the state speed limit. So that's a background legal principle. Okay, the way that all plays out here goes like this. Since 1849, Wisconsin has had a law against gambling on elections and has had this disqualification provision. And Wisconsin is not alone. 25 other states have similar laws. So there's really very little question, either as a matter of historical practice or United States constitutional law, there's very little dispute about the proposition that states are perfectly free to say you lose your eligibility to vote, for example, if you're a felon. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of Wisconsin, if you've committed specific felonies. That's completely fine. Kalshi and Polymarkets are claiming that what they're doing is not gambling and therefore they shouldn't be covered by this statute. So that's not really a constitutional argument at all. It's an argument about this thing I called preemption. So they're claiming, well, they're stating correctly that there's a federal law that regulates what they do. And this federal law defines what they do as being something other than gambling. And in particular, there's a California federal court case that held that that federal law is exhaustive, and no other federal authorities can treat what they're doing as gambling for purposes of law enforcement. So effectively, their argument is that this preempts the state law. Mm-hmm. States can't have laws defining what they do as gambling because there's a federal law that says otherwise. So I know that was long-winded, but that's the background of what they're claiming.
You seem to express some skepticism, though, about the argument from Kalshi and Polymarket that because of that preemption argument, because the federal government has in some cases said, yeah, this isn't gambling, thus states can't regulate it as gambling. Is there a window? Is there wiggle room for a state like Wisconsin to say, you're putting down money on base and you might win or lose money based on the outcome of an event? That's close enough to gambling for our law.
The entire preemption argument is based on a federal statute called the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. For really, really interested listeners, 31 United States Code 5361. And that law contains an explicit provision that says this law does not preempt any state regulation of gambling. It says so right in the federal statute. All the authorities Kalshi and Polymarket are appealing to, like that California case I mentioned, have to do with how gambling is defined under federal law. But unless there's preemption going on, there's no reason states can't define gambling differently. And this federal statute very explicitly says what we're doing here does not limit states' ability to define gambling.
Okay, under state law, the Wisconsin Election Commission is clearly right on this. They can they can treat this as gambling, and if they chose, they don't do this very often, they could try to enforce this gambling law when it comes to voting. If I'm Kalshi or Polymarket, I'm probably going to try to sue in federal court. Do you see a prospect that they could make an argument that a court would back up and say, well, yeah, that even though it doesn't say it preempts, it does kind of preempt?
So you actually just identified the strongest argument they have, which is that the Wisconsin law, I don't know that it's ever been enforced. I don't know that anyone has ever been ruled forbidden for voting on the grounds that they gambled in an election. And so the one strong argument they could have is you've never enforced this law before. It's in what's called desuetude. You might remember that issue came up with respect to the anti-abortion laws a while ago that had been in the Wisconsin statute book since the 1800s. That is, the question is, if a law sits around for 100 years and no one enforces it, you know, does it sort of wither on the vine, so to speak? There might be something there, although it would have to be couched in state constitutional law principles. As far as a federal argument about preemption, I just don't see it, because it's not just a matter of implied preemption. The statute has an explicit provision that says this statute shall not be construed to preempt state laws.
Well, now, that idea that this law hasn't been used, it could be that there aren't a lot of people who've been going to their bookies saying, yeah, I want $5 on the chances of Rob Ferret becoming governor of Wisconsin. Money well wasted there. But we're knocking on the door of $2 million on at least one of the predictive markets and trade volume for this Democratic primary. The law might actually be more relevant now if we agree with the Election Commission that these prediction markets equal gambling.
Well, that's exactly right. And let me point out, the Election Commission is bipartisan, and the vote was unanimous. This is not one party trying to get an advantage over another or something like that. This is not our... In Wisconsin politics, or even just national politics these days, we tend to assume anything with the word election in it is a pure partisan advantage game. This isn't like that, which is kind of refreshing, really. Yeah, you're exactly right. And your point in the introduction was exactly right. There's never been anything like this. In 1789, there was no way to bet $2 million in elections in this giant organized fashion, let alone online, which is essentially a frictionless effort. I do think people have bet $5 on Rob Ferret becoming governor of Wisconsin. Probably just never told the Election Commission about it. But again, the internet is different, right? Now it's kind of public. So yeah, the conditions are completely different. And I entirely agree with you. If I were a judge and I was confronted with the argument this has never been enforced before, and then the Wisconsin Election Commission said, we never really needed to before, but now we do, I would find that argument very persuasive. If I'm being asked to predict whether a different federal judge will say that, well, this is why I do not bet on prediction markets.
Howard, thanks as always for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you again for having me.
That was Howard Schwaber, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and Affiliate Faculty Member at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We're talking about these prediction markets and a statement from the Wisconsin Elections Commission saying, hey, if you buy into these markets on election races here in Wisconsin, it could be a crime under state law. Ross Dahlke joins us now for a look at these prediction markets and how they function in the world of politics. Ross is an assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. He's been researching these prediction markets and politics. Ross, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
People might think, okay, presidential election, that's what this is going to be for. And when I was first seeing offshore prediction markets that people were looking at, that's what it was. Now we've got the Democratic primary for governor. Are we seeing these things move into more and more races at more and more levels?
Indeed, it seems like it. There appears to be an appetite for more and more markets to bet on. I should say, though, the size of these more local or statewide races are quite a bit smaller than the national ones. So, for example, in the 2024 U.S. presidential election, in just that market, it had $3.5 billion in trading volume, which is a lot bigger than the hundreds of thousands or low millions in the races like the Wisconsin gubernatorial.
Now, when these first came out, there were people saying, hey, this is better than polling. People are looking at the data. They're really studying. They're putting their money on the line. Therefore, you're getting more reliable predictors. There's some track record now. What do we know about that?
There's not a ton of academic research on this, but what we do know is that these prediction markets don't have too much more predictive value over just polls. But where it's really valuable, if you think knowing the odds of an election is important, are in cases where there aren't many polls being done. So, for example, in the Wisconsin gubernatorial primary, there was months at a time where we didn't have any polling. And as we all know, on the Democratic side, there's been a lot of movement. There have been candidates getting in, candidates getting out, endorsements. And so if you want to know the state of the race, these markets can react much more quickly to the current state than, you know, polling, where in the case of the Marquette Law School poll that came out, the candidates that they asked about had already changed by the time they were able to release it.
Now, one concern is, hang on, I work on the campaign of candidate A. I know this scandal's about to break. I make a big play in this market because I know these odds are about to shift when this news comes out tomorrow. Concern over market manipulation by insiders, just like insider trading on Wall Street.
That's one of the hottest topics in this space right now. And there's been a lot of cases of this happening, not only in elections, but also in other parts of government. So you know that something is going to happen with the Iran war, for example, where you can get ahead of the market. The platforms do try to see if there seems to be evidence of insider trading, and they do flag it in many instances. But because of the nature of these markets, it's difficult to stamp out completely.
And another concern has been a different kind of market manipulation. I've got some money to burn. I'm supporting candidate A, but candidate A, they're not breaking through in the polls. They're not getting the media attention. If I make a big buy, a big bet that they're going to win, it's going to juice them in the prediction market, and that in itself will get them attention and put them on people's radar. Is that a concern? Is that something we've actually seen happening, or would we know if it happened?
It'd be difficult to tell if it happened, but I think that's certainly the concern. So in the presidential elections where there's billions of dollars, your $10,000 that you really wanted to burn, which in the grand scheme of, you know, election expenditures is not too much, wouldn't matter too much in those big markets. But in these smaller markets that are still exceptionally consequential, where there's hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent, that $10,000 could really change the odds, which could then impact public opinion and perceptions of where people think the race are.
Now, bringing things back to our starting point, the concern that there's an ethical issue. The Elections Commission says we don't want people taking a financial position via gambling on elections, and they say these prediction markets do much the same. Is there a concern that putting money in politics in this particular way, as opposed to all that other money in politics, could have a corrupting effect on individual voters, on our electoral system in general?
That's a concern that people raise, that I have this very direct financial interest in candidate A winning, and so I am going to then cast my sacred vote in favor of candidate A. But I should say that people always have an economic and financial interest in the outcome of elections. I could purchase stocks that if candidate A or B wins are likely to go up or down. And so in some sense, we've always had a financial interest in the outcome of these elections, but not as directly kind of a straight line as these prediction markets allow.
As you mentioned, these are pretty new, and academic research is just playing catch up with this ever-changing prediction market world. What for you is one of the biggest open questions that needs more attention?
One thing that my research team and I are investigating right now is the extent to which people are putting their financial money behind their actual interests or what they think is going to happen. Basically, are people using this as a form of political expression, or are they're in it to make money? I can say from our qualitative evidence of reading through the comments, one really unique thing about these platforms is they have really robust comment sections where people are deliberating and discussing the odds of these things happening. It seems like people will say, I really want candidate A to win, but it's there's no way candidate A actually wins. Candidate B is going to win. So I'm going to put my financial interest behind B. But we are still working through the analysis of that data.
Ross, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ross Dahlke is an assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. He's researching prediction markets and their role in politics. Earlier, we heard from Howard Schwaber, emeritus professor of political science and affiliate faculty member at the University of Wisconsin Law School, talking about a state elections board warning that participating in these prediction markets and taking positions on election races in Wisconsin constitutes gambling and could be a crime.